Man is uneasy without a sense of completeness. There can only be freedom in the unlimited and undivided, because there is only wholeness in truth. A sense of completeness is the secret of happiness. But that completeness can only come when we discern our thoughts, our emotions, discern our conditioning, and what is conditioning us. If you are not aware of what is conditioning you, then you will still be conditioned. And how are you conditioned? You're conditioned because of your reactions to things external to yourself. You're conditioned by your form of belief in any particular ritual, no matter what it may be. You're conditioned by your party, your politics, your education. You're conditioned by your traditions. You're conditioned by all these things unless you discern how you are conditioned. And if you discern how you are conditioned, then you can free yourselves from your condition. But not until such time as you discern the fact that you are conditioned can you free yourselves. Completeness comes when there is no limitation, when there is no division, when there is wholeness. What is all, and there can be no division in all. I told you some time ago that God, being infinite in nature, must fill boundless space, and there can be nothing outside him. If there was anything outside him, he could not be infinite. If he did not fill every atom of space and fill every living thing, and behind every living thing, including the flowers, the trees, and the plants, he could not be infinite. Therefore we see that when we look at a flower, a tree, or a plant of any kind, we will know that it does not grow by its own volition, but behind it is that infinite expression in which there is wholeness and completeness. Therefore, you cannot be outside the infinite. And the infinite must be eternally within you, because he is the only living being there is. And it is now that you realize and recognize the fact that you are alive and living. And that is being, not becoming, but being. Everyone is trying to become something, through some philosophy, through some form of education, through some particular form of psychology, or all these particular orgies, or you're all trying to become something. And where do you land yourselves? In ignorance and in what we call confusion. The mind of the individual becomes confused, and he never reaches what he desires. But immediately you become aware of this one complete fact of wholeness, that there can be no outside, and you cannot be outside, and God is not relative to you. Even if we talk about God, we make him relative. When you pray to God, you make him relative, because you're praying to something external to yourself. And what are your prayers for? For your wants, something that you need, either your health or your happiness, or something that is necessary in your life as you think. But when you have being and wholeness and completeness, then man is no longer uneasy. There is a sense of freedom. There is a sense of friendliness. And as you approach reality, you approach him in friendliness with everything and with everyone else, knowing that you cannot be separated from him. And he, who is the creator of all things, is the benefactor of all things. He who lives and moves and has his being in you, you live and move and have your being in him. As the Master said so clearly and distinctly, know you not, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And the foundation of all his teachings was based upon this one truth. I and the Father are one. If you can discern completely and wholly the meaning of that saying, according to his understanding, then you shall be as free as he was. We do not free ourselves by acquiring comfort or consolation. If you only want satisfaction, you live in the illusion of your desire. We must strip the self of all conditioning, and the self alone can do this. The self must discern its own ways, must understand them. Unless this is done, there can be no freedom of the self. The self is you, which feels a sense of separation. And what is it that separates you? It is your conditioning. Consciousness, this is a very poor illustration of what consciousness is. I'm not trying to tell you what consciousness is, because I don't know what it is, neither do you. In spite of that, you don't know what electricity is, but you see its manifestation. But the fact is that we know that consciousness is functioning in what we call the physical. But it has its roots in infinite completeness, which is everywhere and runs through everything. But as the consciousness of man has reached the infinite, so that same consciousness is functioning through the physical. Man's consciousness is now functioning and reacting to the physical nature. What he sees outside, he feels himself separate, because he's reacting to conditions external to himself. He feels this separation, therefore he tries to possess everything for himself. He tries to corner the infinite for his own benefits. But immediately man becomes aware what he's doing, seeing how he's conditioned by his reactions, by his thoughts, by other people's thoughts, by other people's movements, by other people's desires, by tradition, by education, by his emotions. He begins to see that this itself is nothing at all. The consciousness becomes aware of itself, and in the deeper form of consciousness we find there is a functioning going on in your body that you're not conscious of. The digestion of your food, the simulation of the food, the control of the temperature of your body, winter and summer. All this is going on under consciousness. Nevertheless, it's the same consciousness that's ruling it all. Deeper down, you find greater spiritual consciousness, which in the higher conscious levels, when we begin to realize this wonderful truth, until we begin to become aware of our own consciousness, and aware of our conditioning, aware of the fact that our consciousness is the ruling factor in our lives, that it is the creator of all thought and feeling in your life. If you are not conscious of certain things, you would never feel them. Two men walking down the street, one is blind and the other can see. A tiger comes bounding down the street for both of them. One runs into a corner and the other man stands still. The one is reacting to what he sees. He's running away, but the other man is not conscious of what's happening, therefore he does not know. That is what's happening to most of you. You are fearing everything in your life, and you're conditioning yourselves. But once you reach the stage where the Master said, "The Father and I are one," he reaches his own creativeness. That creativeness that is eternal and ever-present. The past and the future do not exist in the present. The present is eternal. The past is but a memory. The future is but a hope. These things are in your mind, but you're a living being at the present time, and it's only through life, the consciousness in life that is creative in you now, that enables you to think and move, and nothing comes into operation by its own volition. It is the consciousness of the Infinite, Himself alone, and I am the Father are one. If you have inherited ideas of right and wrong, what is spiritual and what is not spiritual, you've only built around you conclusions, which you call understanding. These conclusions are a hindrance to understanding. If you rely on compulsion, there can be no understanding. Through your fear, you adhere to a ritual which conditions the self. You can readily see that this is not understanding, but stupidity. And once you discern what is happening to you, then you begin to free yourself. If you come to the conclusion through intelligence, your conclusions become a wall which you build around yourself. This does not dissolve your difficulties. The self is still imprisoned. In the outer, there may be building, destroying, contrasting, and modifying, suppressing, and renewing. This is but an expansion of the self, going away from that which is real. It is your reactions to things, and you discern and you desire all these things immorality, not knowing the great and mighty force that is within. Only through awareness of the functions the self is undergoing can you dissolve your difficulties. Only thus can the self free itself from all illusion. I know that you realize that this is the highest teaching that is given by the Masters. There's a number of new students here this evening. I want you to pay particular attention, because you will not grasp it in one sitting. But as you listen, you will reach states where you will also become discerners of your own thoughts, your emotions, and how you are conditioned. And when you begin to do this, you will be able to eliminate all these conditions, and you will find a sense of freedom. That is what you're all seeking. Conclusions are a hindrance to understanding because they bind the self. There must be the utmost pliability of mind in the discernment of what your conclusions are. They are but fixtures that bind the self. The self is the cause of these conclusions. Therefore, we must discern deeply what our conclusions are. When you come to a conclusion, have you ever tried to discern why you come to this conclusion? What that conclusion is built from? How it has come about? I'll tell you. It has come about because of your training, your education, your reactions, your environment, your conditions, and all these things bring about your conclusions. That is not understanding. That is mere stupidity. To understand, you must understand the self, how the self is being bound, how the self is being conditioned. Then you will find freedom. A freedom will come, which I cannot give you. Remember, I am not your teacher. There is no such thing as a teacher. Because if I want to teach you, I want you to imitate me and think what I think. But I am not a teacher that way. There is no teacher in the world of any value unless he allows you to think for yourselves and put you on that road, so that you will think for yourselves and think with understanding. I am not telling you to do this or do that. I'm showing you how you can find freedom. With conclusions, you form your resolutions. For instance, a resolution not to be envious, not to be jealous, no longer to be angry, no longer to be possessive, is not effective. It is stupid. A resolution not to be envious, not to be jealous, not to be angry, and so forth, is to build a wall around yourself. And these walls prevent understanding. But if you are aware, you will discover the ways of these things, of envy, jealousy, anger, and so forth, and any other hindrance that binds the self. When you continue in interested watchfulness, you will find the ramifications of the self at the different layers of consciousness. to be jealous in any layer of consciousness, higher or lower, is to be still bound by jealousy. Whether you are jealous of the highest things, or whether you are jealous of the lowest things, you're still bound. If you are righteously angry, he is an ass or a fool, because there is no need to be righteously angry. Righteous anger does not exist at all. You're either angry or not angry. Therefore, it doesn't matter how your anger comes about. It's the same emotion, because you do not understand. From the merely superficial envy to the most subtle form in the mental or spiritual is a hindrance to the true expression of the creativeness within. And it is this creativeness within that you want to free so it can express itself. But if it's held bound by conditions and conditioning in any form whatsoever, whether it is through religion or whether it is through anything else, it makes no difference. You are conditioned by it. You can never be free. You're still living in limitation. That limitation is your conditioning. Yet creativeness is a state of being that is not the outcome of thinking. Creativeness is not the outcome of thinking. Creativeness is now. It is the very root of your own being. It is the very source of creative power in you. It is the life. It is the infinite expressing himself. It is not brought about by thinking. It is brought about by eliminating all that's hindering it and its true expression. You may speculate about the unknown, but you can never think about it. When you are thinking about something, you are probing into it. But such thinking does not bring creativeness. What is knowable is not reality. What is known is ever receding into the past, into memory. And what is past and what is memory is not reality. The eternal is the ever-present, in which there is no memory, no past, no future. It's the ever-present present. It's the creativeness. If you can see clearly what I mean, you will immediately begin to discern all the things that are hindering the expression of this. And you will cast off one burden after another. Until such time as you feel the freedom, that freedom rising within your own soul. And then you will know what freedom means. You have not yet tasted the feeling of this freedom. I remember I told you before, when I went to the Himalayas and I met one of the great masters, I thought, of course, naturally, that I had taken all the degrees as possible in philosophy and science and medicine and so forth, but I knew a great deal, and therefore I began to tell him what I knew. For an hour, I think, I discoursed. And after I was finished, I thought, now you will know that I know something in my own mind. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, my son, it doesn't matter very much whether it is true or not, does it? That was the first time I came to realize that all the things I had, I was conditioning this very thing that was created. Now as I learn to discard everything and to find that which in itself is perfect, then itself give expression to itself. The words flow naturally. There was no effort to speak. There was no need to think out words that I would say. I knew that that word would come at the right moment. Not one moment before and one moment after. And everything would be in its right place at that time because of the ever-presence. We can look back and we can be aware of our thinking and that our thinking is a result of the influences of conditioning, of limitation. Are you not influenced by propaganda, influenced by religion, influenced by thoughts and words of others, by leaders in the political, religious, economic fields of exploitation? All these are not instruments of truth. If you will discover truth, you must become aware of the subtleties of influence and your response to it. Don't forget your response to it. When the past ceases to influence the present, when all sense of time ceases in the present, there is creativeness. Now, at this very moment, when the past and the future have disappeared, and the living presence is now expressing itself. Can you then say in your own heart this moment that you are not conditioned? There is creativeness which can be experienced in the stillness of the mind. When the mind is still, when all these things that are influencing you from your environment, from your ritual, from the various forms, when your mind is no longer occupied by them, when your mind is no longer influenced by them, then that which is real will rise to the surface, and you shall be as the Christ. He was that. He moved among the people in that way, free, demonstrating completely his own freedom and the expression of the creativeness of the Almighty. Everyone is born because of the Christ principle in them. You didn't come into being by yourself. Nothing comes into being by its own volition. The self will then understand the self and realize that which is beyond the self, and that which gives rise to the self. Although you cannot know what it is, you will know that it is. Just as I know that is light, I do not know what it is. You can't tell me what it is. Science can't tell us yet what electricity is. You only know that it comes from the atmosphere. It's a form of energy that permeates the whole universe. And by some unknown way, someone experimenting with two discs flying in the opposite direction found that they created a form of energy. And from that on, they were using electricity. Yet we do not know what it is. yet we know the laws. The cause of exploitation is the self. The self seeks for happiness through material, mental, or spiritual means. Whenever the self seeks happiness external to itself, it becomes the creation of the exploiter. The exploiter does not come into being suddenly. He is not a freak of nature. He is the result of your demands for material, mental, economic, and spiritual satisfaction, in which there is no freedom, and that which you seek, you never attain, because you're going away from reality. What the individual rebels against is a result of his own action. Some think that by killing, they will destroy the evil. They think that by killing or imprisoning a few whom they think are responsible for the evil, they will destroy the evil, but they only add to it. Wrong means cannot establish right action. There can be no peace in the world by murdering those who are murderers. As long as we divide ourselves into groups, nationalities, different religions, and ideologies, there will be aggressors and defenders. Then the defenders become the aggressors. Think it out for yourself and you will see. The cause of all our trouble is this separation. This self is doing all the damage because it does not understand itself and its ways. Only by understanding the fundamentals of human existence can peace come to the world and thus to man himself. In all organized spiritual institutions, there is the desire for position and acquisition. Spirituality is all-inclusiveness, in which there is no distinction, no division, no high, no low. If you think in terms of high or low, then you have conditioned yourself. To free yourself from the net of ignorance, you must remain the controller of your own thoughts and feelings, and not become a slave to imitation and tradition and the authority of the less informed than yourselves. We find then the secret of our happiness comes not through psychology, not through philosophy, not through education, not through tradition, not through possessiveness, but through freedom, discerning all that is conditioning you. If you are possessive, you're conditioned. When the disciples asked the master about the things material, he says, who clothed the lilies in the field? Who feeds the birds? Who does all these things? Then are ye not more than they? And will your heavenly Father not give you what you need? All you must know is to understand that there can be no separation between you and me. And I and the Father are one. I have come in that personal state of that infinite Father. I am the personal representative of that infinite life. And if you can grasp this great freedom that is mine, so you shall have that freedom too. For he who does the will of my father is my mother, my sister, my brother. At the same time, he says, unless you forsake your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your wife, your husband, and your children, and even your own life, you can be no disciple of mine. Unless you can put away all this separateness, this separation, you will never know the power of the Christ. You will never know how to manifest, how to express the Christ from within. The world's conception of life is based on selfishness with all its subtle ramifications, its illusions, its fears, and consolations. Man unconsciously acts through fear and becomes irresponsible. This leads to chaos and disaster. This is the result of the lack of clear understanding. Conscious action through understanding and adjustment leads to pure thinking, which leads to pure action, in which there is no longer selfishness, aggression, and murder. There will be an understanding of the presence that is not in opposition to itself at any time, in any individual, in any nation, or group of people. This same one presence, omnipresent in its nature, is never in any way antagonistic to any individual, in any other individual, nation, or group. Then, how does all this chaos come about? Through the self, being conditioned, not understanding. Psychology won't free you. Philosophy doesn't free you. Education doesn't free you. Politics doesn't free you. Religion doesn't free you. All these things condition you. What does free you is to discern what is conditioning you, so that your thoughts can be pure, can be based upon the one fact, I and the Father are one, and that Father is in every other living soul. So you approach reality with affection, with every other person who is approaching reality with affection. But what do we find? We find people approaching reality in rivalry, in want, in aggression. Do you think that a God who is complete and perfect in himself receives your prayers? Your prayers are hypocrisy, nothing more and nothing less. To approach reality, we must approach him in affection with every other individual that is approaching him, not in rivalry, in division, in sectional, but in unity. If you discern deep enough, you will see that good and evil are not entities in themselves. They are simply words which you use to indicate the result of your own actions. Those actions are predetermined by the character of your thinking, and the cause of your thinking is the self, clouded in ignorance, Therefore, an understanding of the self is paramount in the elimination of the sorrow and conflict in the world in which we live. To become aware of that which hinders true expression of the self is of primary importance to you. How clearly we see this in the words of the Master, John 16:2-3. They will excommunicate you. Indeed, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will imagine that he is doing God a service. This they will do to you because they have not known the Father or me. Don't you see how wonderful it is? These people were caught up in their fanatical, religious sectarianism, in their fanatical beliefs that they were right. They'd never discerned how these things came about. They were bound in these beliefs. Is there anything more fanatical than an Eastern fanatic? I've lived in the East for many years. I've lived among the Arabs in Arabia. I've traveled through the East in my early life, and I know their ways in every possible way. I saw this fanatical Eastern religious fervor that causes them to bleed to death. And if anyone comes in their way during these particular times, they'll sweep you aside. You have got to keep within doors. This is a religious sect. Out to murder, out to kill. Why, it's not very long ago since the Spanish Inquisition. Look at the fanaticism that was there when people were burnt at the stake. What do we see in the present time? This mass murder going on. Is it not just the same thing? Fanaticalism in a larger scale? How ignorant. Oh, may the Christ that knew the truth reveal it to all men's hearts and souls. That is the great thing. And every soul of man will be the burning expression of the creativeness of the one infinite Father. All will approach him in affection for one another. Reaching that particular fountainhead of love, understanding of what it means. In the world today, is it not so? Those who have killed others think they have done God and the world a service. There is no need for me to enlarge on this, for it is very plain to you all. The Master was thought to be an evil influence because he revealed their iniquities, their ignorance of the truth. So they killed him. They did the same to his disciples. But they did not stop the flood of enthusiasm that ran through the world about the freedom of his teaching. They could not kill that which they could not see and did not understand. They never killed the Christ. The Christ is the living expression of the Father. You will never die. It's another impossibility. You will leave the body behind when the body is no longer required, but you will still live. John 16:4-7, I have told you all this, so that when the time for it arrives, you may remember what I said to you. I did not tell you about this at the beginning, because I was with you then. But now I am going to him who sent me. And yet no one of you asks, where are you going? No, your heart is full of sorrow at what I have told you. Yet I am telling you the truth. I am going for your good. If I do not depart, the Helper will not come to you. Whereas if I go, I will send him to you. Here was the Christ speaking. The Comforter is the Spirit of understanding. When you depend on any outside agency, even a master, you have lost your own independence. If you depend on any outside agency of any kind, you have lost your independence. I heal only because it is the Spirit that heals. It's the Spirit within me that doeth. I speak only because of the Spirit. The Spirit alone has voice. That which is presence now at the very moment is the presence forever. The presence alone has voice. Nothing else has voice. When I speak then, I know that it's the presence that is. If you can understand that, and think deeply within yourselves, you will also find that this presence will speak for you as it spoke for Jesus, as it spoke for any master that existed in the world. John 16:13-15, however, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own accord, but will say what he is told. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will draw upon what is mine, and discloses it to you. All that the Father has is mine. That is why I say, he will draw upon what is mine and disclose it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Here is the complete wholeness. Here is the understanding of that sense of completeness in which there is no uneasiness. This is the all-embracing truth of the Christ that is born in man, and is the light of man that shines in the darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth it not. For the light is, darkness disappears. Darkness is in the mind that is caught up in idolatry and pomp, in outward show and selfishness, in separation and antagonism, with the belief that evil is an entity of itself, so man sets out to destroy it. Yet it is nothing more than the action of man himself, so man is killed to exterminate evil, only to create more evil. This is the sin of ignorance in the world. The prince of the world has been judged. Has been known now to have no more power. Christ is supreme. And when man realizes this also, he shall be free. You will see also that the prince of the world has no power of its own. Its only power rests in man himself. If man then will look into his own heart, mind, There he will find the prince of the world, in which the South is caught up. So the South man perpetuates his own misery because he will not discern and understand the cause of his misery. When the cause is understood, then Christ in you will also judge the prince of the world, and it will dissolve away because the only power it has is the power you give it by being caught up in the things of the world, in separation, in antagonism. The world is yours, providing you give it up. But as long as you hold on to it through possessiveness, it will always destroy you. The Spirit of Truth is yours. The life that is eternal is yours, provided you give up your own life in the self, so that you retain the life that is eternal. If you can see this clearly, you will see there is no mental gymnastics about it. There's no need for affirmations from morn until night that cloud the mind and cause a lot of troubles. There is no need for these stupid affirmations. To discern what you are doing, how you are thinking, how you are conditioned, frees you, and that alone. In a little while you shall behold me no longer. Then after a little you shall see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by telling us, in a little while you shall behold me no longer, then after a little you shall see me. And I go to the Father. They said, what is the meaning of in a little? We do not understand what he is saying. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, is this what you are discussing together? Why I said in a little while you will not see me, and after a little you shall see me? Truly, truly, I tell you will be wailing and lamenting while the world is rejoicing. You will be sorrowful. But then your sorrow will be changed to joy. Here was the great, wonderful truth. They did not understand the eternal Christ. The eternal Christ lives in the body now, as it is in you and me. And when the full bloom of that Christ becomes aware, the consciousness becomes aware of itself as the Christ, then all things are possible. The walking on the water, the dissolving of the material, because the Christ has all power over all things in heaven and on earth. Don't you understand that it's the infinite that created all things? And this consciousness is in the infinite. And it's the infinite consciousness that is in man. So is the Christ. That is the Christ. And when the consciousness becomes aware of its own power, Christ's power, it sees that same Christ in every other thing. It lifts everything to safety. It lifts everything through love.